99 kids. Yeah, it was great, 99. Last year we had about 76. This year, so we passed it. We gained like 20%, and there's at least 8 more, possibly 10 more from our church that can go, and we're looking to get to 125 next year. So we spend the week, kids show up Sunday afternoon, and we leave Friday morning, and we just fill it full of activities and fun and games and swimming, 2 chapels a day, and the chapels there are a little more aggressive, I would say, than ours. The music's a little louder and a little faster, and they one and I'm the music director, the camp worship director, so I'm in charge of making sure that worship goes well in junior camp and senior camp. So I'm bouncing between camps, and there's 2 morning services, 1 for junior, 1 for senior, and 2 evening services, 1 for junior, 1 for senior, an hour apart. So every morning I'm over in junior camp, yeah, and then I run over to senior camp, yeah, and yeah, that's so yeah, that's like, yeah, send it. Yeah, next year I need a defibrillator and my ankles and my knees. Other than that, it's great. We do a water slide down the hill. We've got this year we did a couple new things. We did adult size Hungry Hungry Hippo, where the kids get on a scooter. And they have it attached to a pole, and they have like a clothes basket with balls all in the center, different size balls, and somebody from the team scoots them out, and they go, and they bring them back, and all kinds of stuff. Huge inflatables as large as the ceiling with a sliding board, and just a lot of fun. Mud pit, all that stuff. So next year we'll be announcing if anybody wants to send your children. It's about $300. But we ask parents to do the $100 deposit, and we try to assist as a church for the remainder. But now's a good time to start thinking about next year, to start saving up, especially if you have multiple children, because you don't want to get hit with such a good bill, such a large bill, such a bad bill. I mean, you know, it's a good investment. Anyway, the church invests somewhat into it. We had 3 campers go this year and 7 counselors. And it's just a good time. It's a good time to pour into the children. And if Luke were here, and if Vadim were here, oh, they're hiding. Okay, yeah, we'll get them. Or they're in with the kids. Okay, in with the kids. They were with the kids all week, and they're still in with the kids. Okay, that's about it. Thank you.
Yeah. Praise God. So as a church, I say thank you for your support in many ways. For those of you who were here last week, you know, we had loaned a lot of our resources over to the camp, people and equipment-wise, but God is good. All right, a couple other things before we move into this morning's message, and I'll let you guys get loose for some hot dogs. Haley Shorten, don't see Haley today, but it's her birthday, isn't it? Indiana, that's right, I did know they were going that way. Okay, so Haley's in Indiana, so when we see her next, we'll wish her a happy birthday, but 20. Haley's 20? Haley's 20. That's like when I look at Kristen and say she's 24, I'm like, no, she's not. Yeah. So, okay. I think that's all I have for announcements. Anybody else have a birthday between now and Saturday? Birthday, anniversary? No, I don't want to miss you. Get on our list so we can acknowledge that. So, yours was yesterday. We got you last week. You're covered, man. No, but happy birthday, Sister Rose. Yep. So she's still accepting gifts. That's really what she meant by that. So, no. Praise God. Okay, I think that's all my announcements. I'm going to move into the pulpit for this morning's message and change microphones. Talk a little bit till you find me. There I am. So we'll have to give Harry Elwood a call and say, not sure what's up with the air. Because I walked back there, the condensers are running. Yeah. Did I hear it's just fine? Somebody say it's fine?
It's nice in the basement.
It's nice in the basement? I'm seeing plenty of this. Yeah. Yeah. It's all good. It's all good. If this is the biggest problem we have, we ain't got any problems. So the The only thing is, from my perspective, from the, I'll say the finance side of things, when I see the electric bill for the month, I'm like, at least if we're comfortable, I feel okay about it. But to know we're here and it's like a little bit uncomfortable, we're like, ah, I still got to pay you guys, you know, this electric bill for the month. But we'll get it figured out. And we've been plenty comfortable, you know, on through here. So let me pray as I open the word this morning. Oh, Father, just need to continue to, I'll say, stay as connected as possible with you and the way that I think and the things that are being done and even led through here. God, we thank you for it. And I come before you just to offer myself that you would use me as you see fit. We thank you for your written word, and we pray, God, that it would come alive to us, alive the way you are alive. And this word is living, that we would be in a place to receive the truth and the life that's in it now as we sit here and hear from you through your Holy Spirit. So have your way and speak to us that we would forever just know you better, love you more, and glorify you, because that's what we're made to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want to welcome you back to our studies in this letter from Paul to the Colossians. Today, God willing, we're going to pretty much focus our times on verses 10 to 17, and a little bit of overlap from last week, chapter 3. And I titled this message, That Looks So Good on You. Okay, that looks so good on you. Has anybody ever told you that? You know, they see you wearing something, they go, that looks so good on you. Okay, ladies, I know you, that makes you feel good. Guys, okay, maybe if your wife said it, maybe somebody you respect, depends on how they said it. Hey, that looks really good on you. It's a nice compliment. Next time you see it in your closet, you're like, oh, I'm going to put that on. I got a lot of compliments last time I wore that. It made me feel good. Today, we're going to be talking about putting some things on, and when the Holy Spirit looks at you, he goes, oh, that looks so good on you. That looks so good on you. Put that on again. Leave that on. Put another one on. So I want you to think of that picture and have that in your mind as we talk about some of these things. Because these are some things that we can put on and wear, and we get a compliment from really the only person we need a compliment from. You know, it's our Father. And it has nothing to do with whether we're loved or accepted. We are. But he looks at us and sees some of these things and goes, oh, that looks so good. That looks good. So I'm looking forward to unfolding this with you as we do that. And Paul is in the middle of giving us some very practical advice, or giving the Colossians some practical advice 2,000 plus years ago, the churches that were told to also read this letter, you know, as well as us. This word's alive, and it still speaks to us today. And so far, he has told us that we should be setting our minds on Christ, right, on things that are above. Almost like you might set your radio, not that people use radios much anymore, but you set a specific station. You know, you on your MP3, you pick a certain channel, so to speak, that you're going to listen to. And what we're being told by Paul is, you know what, set it on the Jesus channel. Okay? Set it on the Jesus channel, because that's where your life is. You're going to get life when you are on that channel, when that is where your mindset is, where your focus is. And in a lot of ways, we could say that the other channels, they're run by the prince of the air. So depending on how long you leave yourself plugged into one of those channels, there's going to be some influence that you probably don't want in your life. So Paul has encouraged us to plug into this channel, because this is what's going to allow the purposes that God has for us to be carried out, where, like I said, if we plug into those other channels, there's going to be more of a war. So after we set our minds on this right channel, Paul told us last week, you didn't know Paul was here, did you? Paul told us last week that there's certain behaviors, certain things that just need to go. And they need to go not because we need to earn God's love. I said it once already, I'll say it again. We can't earn it. Right? The power of that scripture that says, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Right? So way before I ever had the thought of turning towards God, way before the Holy Spirit ever, I'll say, twisted me around and said, look at this. He was loving me. And so these behaviors that we put off aren't gaining us God's love. But they need to go, because certain behaviors are an insult to him. They are an affront. And they are a distortion to what he has said to be right and true and to his divine order for things. they're things that have been, I'll say, peddled to us. They've been made to look like something that they're not. And God basically says, you know, this is just a behavior. These are ways that people act that I'm not going to tolerate forever. And Paul warned us that God's judgment is coming because of this. And so as a Christian, you know, there's certain things that we can just steer clear from, or the verbiage that we were hearing yesterday was, take these things off. Just don't even put this on. And they were behaviors, things like, I'll say, being controlled by our urges, by even our sex drive, or displaying fits of anger and rage, or lying, or maliciously slandering someone, or even just the coarse talk, the rough talk that we might say is vulgar, often edges on, you know, having some sort of innuendo to it. This is just, I'll say, words and things that are just not fitting. They're not appropriate for someone who is following after Christ and is looking to be one of his disciples. So Paul just encourages us, you know what, get rid of this stuff. Just get rid of it. Don't pick it up. Don't put it on. Get rid of it. And we closed out the portion that we read last time with a reminder, and we really didn't look too much at it. We're going to look at it a little bit today, that because we're in Christ and we're setting our minds on him, we've put on this new self, and that's what we're going to expand on today. That's very much like putting on new clothes. It's like putting on something totally new. And in this case, as you may remember from last week, these new clothes that you need, they're maternity clothes, right? Because you're pregnant. You're pregnant with God's Holy Spirit. So you kind of need to keep putting these clothes on, and over time, you're going to have to keep changing them. They're going to have to more reflect, you know, who you are and what's going on in you as this life that's in you is growing. And it's growing and it's growing, and it's going to come to a culmination. So with that as my introduction, I want to encourage you to read, open, click, swipe, whatever you need to Colossians 3, and I am going to read for us verses 10 to 17, and we will pick up more on this theme. So Colossians 3:10 says, "And have put on the new self," right, he was talking about taking off the old, "which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Amen. This is God's word. If you do have your Bibles open, you'll see that the next line says, "Wives, submit to your husbands." I need 2 weeks off to get ready for that, okay? So I said, I'm stopping at verse 17 this week, okay? Pastor Dave will be picking up next week at verse 18, right? So the first and really the most important thing that we want to notice is that there's a new self. Paul made reference to it earlier in the chapter. There's this new self that we're now clothing ourselves with. It's a part of a continual process. Though receiving Christ may be something that, I'll say, we do at one time when we consciously have turned to him and asked him to take over our lives, this process of working this out, what we call sanctification, where we grow in knowing God and we see the evidence of that in our lives, isn't a one and done. Okay, it's not a bottom of the ninth walk off home where you're like, okay, did that once, now I'm good. Okay, it's a continual thing. You will, for the rest of your days, choose, and Paul's encouraging us, choose to put on this new self. And as I said, as it's growing, you're gonna need more and more different clothes to do that. But there's a progression that happens here. And we're told that these clothes are renewed in knowledge. So what you used to think was right, the way you used to think was right, no longer is. And because there's a new way of looking at things. You have a new I'll say, Lord, you're surrendered to God. This new knowledge is based on what he says is right and true. And so if we're here learning, we're kind of at a school learning these new things with new clothes, okay? It's kind of like the first day of school, right? You get to go to this new place and everything is great. You've got a new teacher that this teacher knows everything, okay? Really knows everything. You know, we all think our teachers are smart. This one really is smart, okay? He just called it all into existence with his words. And everybody in the class is on the same footing. There's no favoritism. We see that in that reference here. Nobody has an advantage. It doesn't matter what your background was. Doesn't matter if you were poor from the other side of the tracks. Doesn't matter if you had a lot of means and had everything stacked in your favor. When you come into this school to learn, okay, we all have the same, I'll say, ID badge. It's Jesus. Right? We have Christ in us. That's our only way, I'll say, in, and it's the only thing that the Lord is going to acknowledge as we then learn from there and grow from there. And you know, Paul actually said that in verse 12, that when he looked at God's, he's calling us God's chosen people, intentionally. And we're hearing this from Paul the apostle, one who called himself the Jew of the Jews, is saying that you in Christ, you're God's chosen. That was saying something, because up until this time, the Jews were God's chosen. And it's not that they're not special to him. You only have to read Romans 9 to know that they've got a glorious future. Okay, but there is those who of us, and I'm trusting it's you in this room or those of you who are being drawn, are chosen to be in Christ. So it's not a question of being Jewish by race or by lineage, but we're called by God. And it's something that he does. To be chosen is still an act of his. And if I try to figure out, I'll say, why he chooses us, or why did he choose the Jews, and why did he work with some already existing nation, I have to say, I don't know. He's God. Okay? His way of doing things are always far and above. His ability to understand, his perception is different. You know, I don't know why. But I do know maybe part of the answer or some of the answer. And I think we see it really in that next word. So Paul had said to us, where am I? That in verse 12, God's chosen ones, for one, holy. Right, he's called us holy, and meaning that we're set apart. Okay? Not that we're special in the sense of better than everybody else, but God has set us apart. He set the Jews apart. He's setting those in Christ apart. And he's put us aside and set us apart for special use. That's his desire. And that's who the Jews were. That's who we are, as we are now called to be separate, but in Christ. And we see and we're learning our life is in him, and that's a part of why we separate like this, not out of the world. Okay? The Lord has called us into the world, okay? Yet we're called unto him. So there's a way that we'll start to live, and that's part of what we're looking at today. And when we call God holy, it's both a reference to his separation from everything. He's separate from creation. Okay? He is above creation. And it's also a reference to his character and the perfection of his character and how holy he is. There is none like him. And it's kind of interesting that when we call God holy, declaring him separate, how different that is from, I'll say, the academic world at large that's basically trying to say, no, it somehow just started. You know, it somehow has just started and it's continued to evolve from there, okay? That there's no separate influence on what we're looking at. Whether it was a big bet, whatever it was, okay? And somehow things are evolving more and more in a more complex nature, which is not true. So part of why maybe God has chosen us is because he's desired us to be separate, okay? Something else that we see here, and it's probably maybe another part of this answer, is that Paul is calling us chosen, holy, and then he goes on and says that we're beloved, we're well-beloved or dearly loved. And I think that may be a part of this, that God chose to love us because he wants to. Because he wants to. It was his desire. It was his, you know, heart to show love. And when I come across scriptures that I reference a lot, you know, that he's willing that none should perish. I see that his heart is for all. It's his desire. His desire is that we would all come to know him. So we're called by God to be set apart for him so he could show us his love. Let me repeat that. We're called by God to be set apart for him so he could show us his love. If we walk in his presence, his love, you start to see what life is about and what you're really, really put here for. And it's for these reasons that Paul says that we need to be putting off some of those other things, and there's qualities that we need to put on. Right? These are the things that look good on you. And so he goes on in his list there in verse 12. One of the first words he speaks of is compassion, right? Having a compassionate heart, this ability to come alongside another person in love in a way that makes them feel cared for. Everybody, I'll say, feels that sort of care in a different way, but regardless of what somebody's going through, that you have some level of compassion where they say, you know what, he cared or she cared. I can sense that. I can feel that from them. And being compassionate is something that is in the heart of every real Christian. I know for myself, as I've walked with God for 33-ish years now, I don't want to say being compassionate, but understanding how much what I have with God and before God I don't deserve would sometimes get me in trouble at work. Okay? And what I mean by that, and not real, real trouble, but I feel bad when somebody else messes up. Okay? I feel bad for them. And when I'm their boss, I can't just feel bad for them. There's times I have to hold them accountable for what mistake they just made. Sometimes it's easier to be more compassionate, merciful when it was an error in judgment. But there's times where folks do things they chose to do it wrong. They intentionally maybe even tried to deceive. And as the person they're reporting to, I have to hold them accountable for that. But it still wasn't easy for me. I still felt bad. I felt bad that you're going to get in trouble. And then I would try to try to play it down. Maybe we won't deal with it right away. Maybe we can just let this kind of work itself out, until my boss would say something like, what did you do about so-and-so and the fact that, you really think that they were, lying to you about that? Like, we're working on it. We're working on it. There's times I need to hold them accountable. With my kids, I'd feel the same thing sometimes. They would mess up, do something wrong, and I'm feeling bad that they messed up. I shouldn't, I'll say, feel bad, but I said, as I'm trying to analyze it, I would come back to, I don't have, everything I have, I don't deserve, so can I just be merciful? Can I just be merciful and let it slide? Okay? That sounds like there's some truth there, but that's the error that those who want to say everybody gets saved falls into. Okay? God's just so compassionate. He knows we're messed up. He's just going to let everybody slide. Okay? The beauty, the power of what God can do, okay, is that he knows exactly when. He just puts his arm around you and says, it's okay, we're going to get through this. And when he says, that was something that you willfully did wrong. Here's the repercussion of that. And I'm not going to let you go through this repercussion just for the sake of it, but I know that this will help you understand. It'll help you know. It'll help you grow. It's God's loving discipline, and it's always done perfectly. And in the end, you're like, you love him more for it. Right? And we see those scriptures that say, we love our parents for the discipline that they gave to us, though it wasn't pleasant at the time. Okay? We understand the concept and the context of it. And so, as a dad, I'll say it's a little bit easier when they're younger and you realize, that was just flat-out rebellion. And that always kind of, in my mind, helped me to draw the lines. Like, if it was flat-out rebellion, that got you in the most trouble. Okay? If I'm not sure you were aware of it, I wanted to be more merciful. I found out more times than not, I was the fool because they were aware of it and they were just being rebellious. Okay? Love you, Krista. Okay? I did the same thing to my parents. Walking with God and allowing him to, I'll say, discern these things as we walk with each other. Okay. In some ways, you feel like you can't err by being more compassionate and loving. Yet, in any place or any relationship, there's times where, I'll say, there's a degree of line and respect that there has to be for each other where everything's not going to be okay, and I'm not going to keep saying I'm going to make excuses for your behavior and allow you just to do this and do that. The same way my loving father, because he loves me, doesn't allow me to get away with things on end with no repercussion for that. He loves me too much. He loves me too much. He loves you too much. So we want to be compassionate, but we need God's wisdom to do it right. That's kind of how I look at it. Kindness. One of the next words we see there is kindness. It's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it's this ability to genuinely be nice to people. If you're ever around Joanne Jansen, that's one of her things. Just be nice. Be nice. Be kind. Some people are, I'll say, more wired this way, and they're good at being nice and kind. Other folks kind of have this angle and attitude that everybody's out to rip me off. I just got to keep them from ripping me off. So I got a little bit of an edge to me, and you're not going to get too close because you're not going to rip me off because that's just the way things are in the world. You know, it's dog eat dog, and you know, I'm going to make sure that you ain't eating my dog. I'm going to be there and be in front of that. So there's a place as we walk with God to put on kindness that I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Okay, rather than doubt, I'm giving you any benefit. All right? Like, give you the benefit of the doubt sometimes. I'll let God deal with the fact if you took advantage of kindness. That doesn't mean, you know, the same red carpet is going to be rolled out next time. There's going to be a little bit of wisdom in that, and we can work with that. But there's absolutely a place for God's people, and Paul is calling us, be kind. Put on kindness. Humility, one of the next words we see there. It's just this sober judgment of oneself, this ability to really know your place. And in this world, you know, it's not always the humble that are proclaimed. Maybe in hindsight, you know, whether it be a Mother Teresa or some other things, people that had a great humility about them. But there's also, in our world, there's recognition for those who say, here I am, look at me now, you know, and I've done this and I've done this. And the Lord calls us that we should have this sober judgment, often not even insisting on our own way. There's a power in that, which really leads to the next word, the word of meekness, where you're not necessarily looking to take credit or the spotlight, but it's not from a false humility. It's not from a, oh, no, you got it. It's okay. Because in meekness, there's really an inner strength. And there's the inner strength that says, I am living by conviction. By conviction. Before my God. Right? And I'm just going to do what's right. Allowing him to, I'll say, weave the rest of the picture. Put those things together. Make things work out for good the way he said that he would. Right? It's not going to be a matter of me getting up here and making sure you all know, you know, what I did. Same thing for yourself. That let God in his timing say, you know what, here's some honor or some honors due. That's great. But in the reality of things, you know, like I said, I don't deserve any of this. We don't deserve any of this. So you get this picture and this perception of, you know what, Lord, if this is what you allow, great. If it's something that's fun, great. If it's something that, you know, maybe isn't so enjoyable, I'm going to still say great because you're God. You see things the way I don't see things. I trust you. But you're living with a conviction that keeps you humble. It keeps you meek. Yet before the Lord, he's like, that looks good on you. That looks good on you. You're not just, you know, blowing around with a doctrine du jour, you know, whatever the popular wind is blowing through at any one point in time. You're grounded. You're secure in the Lord. Which leads me to the next word that we have here, patience, or bearing with one another, and even bearing with one another's complaints. In the King James, you see the word long-suffering is also often there for patience. And there's these connotations of accepting where someone is at, not necessarily expecting them to have the same, I'll say, either maturity or to even see things the same that you do, but you tolerate in a loving way each other. You know, where there's a real embrace, there's a real, hey, it's okay that we don't see this exactly the same, but we're going to long-suffer with each other. We're going to be patient with each other because it's beautiful in God's sight. We don't have to prove who's right or who's wrong on every little thing. One of my faults, okay, don't want to start the list. Don't want to keep you here all day. You got hot dogs cooking soon. Oh, speaking of what's cooking, I'm looking at the group today. Is anybody playing Pokemon Go? No? Krista's hand is up. Luke? All right, we've got some Pokemon Go. All right, I understand that starting at 11:30, we're dropping a lure every half hour. All right? So if you're playing, there should be a lot of activity here. This is a Pokestop, for those of you who don't know. We don't make that happen. Google Maps does. So we are a Pokestop. So if you're playing, you can get all the Pokeballs you need. And we've been walking with Krista on the boardwalk, and I'm all, you know, learned up on how to play Pokemon Go, but I haven't put it on my phone. I don't think I'm going to. But anyway, Matt, we're going to be dropping some lures during the picnic, so hopefully you'll have a lot of activity on the other side. For those of you who know what that means, it's all good. It's all fine. We're luring kids in here. I'm not sure how I got off on that tangent. We're being long-suffering. Married 30 years, Laura's had to be long-suffering. Okay, it comes with the territory. And in this, okay, as we're being patient with each other, we're called to forgive. Okay, put on forgiveness. It means that others are going to wrong you. Okay? Sometimes it's unintentional. Sometimes it's very intentional. Yet we're called to forgive. And we're called to forgive not just when somebody grovels and we, like, stretch it out a little bit, make them feel it. You know, I want you to feel what I felt. We're called to forgive, period. The way the Lord has forgiven me. The way the Lord's forgiven you. And when I think on that, I'm like, he's forgiven me for stuff I didn't even ask for forgiveness for. That's what I'm supposed to do. He's forgiven me for stuff I didn't even know that I offended him in. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. He's forgiven me things that I'm going to do in the future. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. Forgive as the Lord's forgiven us. I'm like, it's so open-ended. I'm like, I guess I'm forgiving everybody. He's like, you want your sins forgiven? Yep, I'm forgiving everybody. You know? Because our sins are forgiven in Christ. Thrown into the deepest sea, God has said, I choose to remember them no more. He could. I choose to remember them no more. Right? Can I do that to somebody else? Right? Can you? Can we? That's what we're called to, because as we see, what Paul then goes on to say in verse 14, above all else, put on love. I told you to put these things on, but over this is your jacket. This is your overcoat. No matter what you're wearing, if you're wearing nothing else, you're putting this on. You're putting on love. It's your everyday put on. And from that, when we think about love, I had to turn us to 1 Corinthians 13 and those beautiful verses that that we have there. And in your notes, as soon as I find my version of your notes, I gave you a couple of different translations because they've all got some things in there. We're not going to read them all, but I'll read the ESV version and allow you to look at the other ones later. So if this is what we're supposed to put on over everything else, we're told that love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Right? It's meek, it's humble. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. I think that's where you see in some of the other ones, it keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never ends. So this is what you put on, and the Holy Spirit says, that looks so good on you. That looks good on you. Keep that on. Wear that again tomorrow. Don't have to wash it. Just wear it again. It's good. Keep wearing it. So this is what we're called to. And we've seen these directives here about Paul telling us what to put on, and there's a couple of more directives he's going to give us, and these start with the word to let or permit some of these important things to be a part of our life in Christ. So verse 15, we see about letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And all the commentaries that you look at and that I came across, they're all very quick to point out that this word rule, right, that we're letting his peace rule, has these connotations of being an umpire. That, you know, you think about what an umpire does. An umpire says what's safe and can stay and what needs to be out. So the peace of God, peace from Christ, can help you to know what needs to stay and what needs to get out. It can umpire. It becomes this rule for your life. And this is where, as a Christian, and for those of you who've walked with the Lord for a while, you hear your Christian friends use their Christian lingo and say things like, I didn't have a peace about that. You know? But that's kind of where this comes from. You know? Do you have God's peace about whatever that situation is? You know, if you don't, maybe it's something you shouldn't be moving forward in. If you do, okay. But Paul is saying, you know what? Let this peace help decide those things. That means you can. Right? His Spirit is given to you so that you can allow it to umpire, rule, give you direction. Right? Because not everything is black and white. It doesn't say, you know, Tom DeStefano, here's what you should do today. So there's times where I have to, in my relationship with God, say, Lord, help me to discern what's right today. Should I do this or shouldn't I? Do I have a peace about it or don't I? Right? But there's a lot of truth in that. So as much as I have fun thinking about our Christian lingo, there's a lot of truth in that peace that can be ours. So we can move from that. And when I think about God's peace, when we think about God's peace, there's two other scriptures that just kind of plop right into my mind, and I put them there in your notes for your reference. One is Isaiah 26:3. These are definitely some set-these-to-memory verses. It says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Right? He trusts in you. Does that mean you have no other thought ever? You know, the only thing I think about is God. I forgot to eat for 2 weeks because I was only thinking about God. Okay? That's silly. Okay? But there's a way that your mind, you have set, right? The station, where you're plugging into is on God. There's a peace that comes with that because you've got this continual, God, I trust you. You're not going to allow anything in my life that shouldn't be. I'm hidden with Christ in you. It's okay. Okay? I'm going to keep walking with you and I can trust you. Whatever happens, if it's something hard, you're with me. Okay? There's going to be a great testimony. And I know, and I've seen it in your lives, I've seen it in my own life, when it's really, really hard, that's when from the outside you're like, I don't know how they're doing it. But God's grace is there for them. It's been there for me during those super hard times. Then I can give testimony to that, you can give testimony to that, and then we build each other up so that should any of us walk through a similar time, you're like, okay, you took Dave through that. You know, you took Judy through that, and here's what they said. You know, here's what they said. And some of those things are, I don't want to repeat them, some things that I know that some of us have gone through, yet I've seen how strong somebody's faith is in that, literally sustaining them. I'm like, okay, God, no matter what, we trust you. Philippians 4, 4 to 8, or 4 to 7, rather, 4 to 6, 7, yes, through 7. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's a beauty, all right? So I can thank God not because I understand what's going on, but because he's God. So I thank him, I bring it before him, and allow his peace. Let his peace to come, and it'll come. So the second let, as I bring things together here, is let God's word, right, the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I talked last week about what we wash our brains with, right? Choose to wash your mind with God's word. You know, we need to see and think much closer to how he does in order to be wise. It's the only reason that we can then do what the rest of the verse says and then admonish and teach each other. If you're not dwelling in Christ, I'm not so sure I want you speaking in or admonishing me on what's right or what I should do. If I can trust that you're walking with God, hey, I'm not saying that what you said is perfect and it's a word from the Lord, but it might be. Hey, God can witness in my heart, but we can walk together and be that iron sharpening iron that the scriptures speak about. Okay? If we continue to dwell in Christ and allow his word to dwell in us, we can do that for each other and be that for each other. So it's not I don't know who you think you are telling me what to do. Okay? Because you would know it came from love. It came from a place of love, and it was received in a way that, hey, maybe I need to hear that. Because there's times where I'll say, you know, we've fooled ourselves, or maybe we're looking at something not quite right, and somebody who cares about you comes next to you and says, did you think about this? Have you considered that maybe this could happen if you do that? Okay? At least put that, I'll say, seed or thought in their mind so that they could take that before God and say, did you have, you know, mom say that to me for this reason? And not just ignore it. And to have this sort of understanding is powerful. And Paul goes on in these verses, he's telling them to admonish each other with singing of psalms and hymns. And that was also a big part of the way that things were taught then. Not everybody was literate and could read and write. So you would teach your children through the songs that you would learn, and generationally you'd pass them on. You know, we're told, as we see there in Deuteronomy, it's in your notes, you know, about teaching your children and teaching them wherever you are, wherever you're going, that you're going to teach them the words of the Lord. But there was also times and ways that they were passed on in song. And even today, there's a power when you sing one of God's truths, okay, and it hits you. Like today we sang that, the first song we sang, Young and Free, is that who the band is that does it, I think? Yeah, okay. That's on my playlist, okay, in the car, or on my phone. I can't play it low, and I can't not scream it at the top of my lungs. I'm in the front row. Okay, maybe my mother-in-law and Krista could hear me. Like, I have to sing it like up an octave, and I can't really reach the notes when I'm like, you are my freedom! You know? If you ever see me on the expressway, it could be funny. Right? I think Luke probably had lost his voice from the week. He had it down an octave today, but I'm in the front cracking. But there's just things about singing out truth about who God is, and we can pass those on generationally. And that brings us to really the last verse of today, which is a verse that many of us have memorized, that whatever we do in word and deed, in the name of the Lord Jesus, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. And I came across lots of great ways to potentially apply this. And if I wanted to maybe sum it up, I found a couple of questions that we can ask ourselves. Is what I'm doing and saying honoring God? And you can kind of ask these questions, because we all, as we even referenced a couple of weeks ago, we have a freedom in Christ. We have a freedom. Yet there's things that Paul is admonishing us, the Holy Spirit is admonishing us. You know what? Take some of these things. Don't put this on. Don't wear that. Wear this. This looks good on you. That doesn't. So when we want to think about doing all things in word and deed, like it almost sounds like a bit of a heavy weight. Come on, everything? Like I got to brush my teeth to honor you? Oh, that's not so bad. You know, I got to get dressed to honor you? Oh, that's not so bad either. You know, you start to think these things through, and not that you have to, you know, I'll say belabor them, okay? But if we are trying to do all things to bring some honor to God, there's going to be a reflection in who we are and how we act. So here's a couple of questions you can ask yourself about the things in your life, and can you do it, and is it something that you can do in word and deed in the name of the Lord Jesus? So for one, is whatever the activity is, can it be done to God's glory? Can it be done to God's glory? Some things can't. Most of those are illegal, okay? There's certain things you can't do to God's glory. It's against the law. Right? You can't say, I'm gonna make something bad. No, I can't do this, God, to honor you, because it's not right. They only bring dishonor. Is it something that you can pray God's blessing on? God, can you please bless me as I do this, as I go here, as I say this? God, can you bless that? Right? That can tell you whether it's something that you can do to his honor. Is it something that can be done while giving God thanks? God, you know what? I thank you for this. Is it Christ-like in the way you say it or the actual action? A little throwback to the WWJD. You know, what would Jesus do? You know, what would Jesus say in this situation? Is this thing something that might offend or weaken the sincere convictions of another brother or sister in Christ? We talked about the freedoms that we have, but some things I'll choose to not exercise freedom in for the sake of each other. Another question. Would it weaken my desire to be with God, to spend time with him, to read his word or pray? If whatever I'm doing, if it weakens that, it might be something that I can't necessarily do in his name. You know, or will it weaken or hinder my witness? Than saying to the world that I'm a Jesus follower. Not saying that we live our lives to please others by any means, but once you start to put on Christ and you start to just live that out, which means you're going to have some conversations with people, okay, real quick they're going to say things like, I didn't think Christians did that, after you just did one of those maybe borderline things. Okay? And you need to say to yourself, you know, well, you're either maybe they're right or, you know, maybe they're not really understanding. But real quick, the world starts to, you know, throw up these lines for you. And I think Paul has just kind of given us some encouragement and guidelines that if we're taking off certain things, right, which include those edgy things, you're doing it in the benefit to honor God and putting on some of these other things, you get up, you put some of those things on, and he's like, you look so good. You look good. Wear that today. You know, wear it. Wear it well. So Paul wants to, you know, see these things going on in our life. And three times in those last three verses, we see the importance of being thankful and thankfulness, right? And it's literally once in each of those last three verses. And you might remember from a few weeks ago when we looked at thankfulness that it helps give us this perspective that we need. It wards off regret and discontent, and it also promotes unity. And Paul is saying, you know, as you're doing these things and walking with each other and you're showing this, just be thankful. You know, that really does give you this incredible perspective. And, you know, I want to be able to get up in the morning and have the Holy Spirit look at me and say, yeah, that looks good. Wear that today. And I want you to do that as well. Amen? Amen. Praise God. This is his word to us this morning. A couple of takeaways for you. We are called by God to be set apart for him so he could show us his love and make us shine to his glory. And the second bullet I have there, I had a quote, though it's probably not the proper bibliographical way to do this. I just made up another word. Anyway, let the life that is in you by virtue of your union with Christ work itself out and express itself in all your thoughts, actions, and relationships. That sound good? Let the life that is in you by virtue of your union with Christ work itself out and express itself in all your thoughts, actions, and relationships. Praise God. Let me close us in prayer, pray a blessing over you, and shoot you to the other side for a good time with each other. So, Father God, we say thank you again. Your word is true. Your word is our bread. We need it. We need it. We need to feast on it. So we say thank you for the truths that are in your scripture. And Father, if there's anyone here that has anything that they need prayer for, anything that you're doing in their life and heart, God, just draw them forward so that we can pray for them here at the end of service, or if there's anyone who hasn't committed themselves to you and wants to, want to lead them in that prayer as well. But Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can walk with you, know your presence, know your peace, see you in our lives, in each other's lives. And God, I pray your blessing over the rest of our time, even this afternoon, for those who can stay or those who are still coming. For those who have other things they need to do today, send them off with your blessing and your presence. And God, I pray this blessing over this congregation the way that Moses did when he said to the people, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You're blessed and dismissed. Have a great rest of your day.